Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to Chop of History today, brought to you by Law Tigers. Today's guest, Bare Knuckle Paul, should be a really good interview. Something I want to remind you guys, our first bike night is June 21st here at Pearlwood Cycle Fab in Halifax. So it's Wednesday, June 21st. Next one's July 19th and August 16th. They are on the third Wednesday of the month, so that's a way you guys can remember. Wednesday, June 21st. So that's the Wednesday right after Laconia. Anyway, that's when our bike night. The first one is Wednesday, June 21st here at Pearl with Cycle Fab. Dad, do you have anything quick you want to add to it? Or should we get right to Paul?
Yeah, let's get right to Paul.
Yeah. All right, let's bring Paul on. Hey, Paul.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, I never realized just how big you were until I saw that picture of you and I standing together. Holy shit. I'm saying,
somehow I knew that would come up.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. I look like a midget compared to you.
I know. It's my claim to fame.
Yeah. Really?
I guess. Yeah.
So my first question, Paul, how'd you get the name?
So I boxed a little bit growing up. You know, was always into just combat sports of any sort. And then, you know, just kind of also like, you know, the getting your hands dirty, you know, your knuckles are busted up and bare, you know, so the two just kind of blended together and just had a good, you know, kind of had a good ring to it, really.
It is.
Nobody's ever asked me that. Thanks for asking. I mean, we get asked occasionally, but never on like an interview or anything. Well, I was pretty happy when we came across that name.
Well, I figured it was something like that, you know, you're right. It does. It does have, you know, a good name.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
When you said that you did some boxing and you're so tall, all I could think of was like a kangaroo. You know, you know, boxing a kangaroo is brutal.
I've never boxed a kangaroo though. So.
Well, no, people that box, you can probably say that.
Yeah, right.
Because that's a good you're point. So big.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you have going on in your shop?
Oh man, this is our 20th year. So in 20 years, I don't think there's never been a day where we didn't have anything to do, but right now we're busier than we've ever been. We've got a lot of really good parts going on. But the bike builds have just taken off. I mean, we've got a dozen or more bikes to build right now. We've got some really cool customer stuff we're excited about, but at the same time, we're doing the FXR tour for Born Free. So we're doing a really cool chopper for that I haven't been so excited for a bike in a long time. It's going to be cool. We're going to try to blend the 70s with the 90s with today also. So it's going to be a chopper. We've got an old Magna Charger that we're putting on a 124, an Evo. I think we're the only Evo in the whole. There's 10 builders. Jace from Fast Life Garage is putting it on with my machinist, and everybody's doing twin cams and M8s, and there might even be a shovel head or two. And we're the only Evo, which is kind of strange. We're doing a blown 124, and then we're going to do, we haven't told a lot of people much about this, but we're doing a mono shock swing arm. And then just a lot of really cool one-off pieces. You guys, Dave, especially, you'll appreciate some of the stuff you see on this, cause it's going to remind you of things that were going on back in the day. But yeah, we're going to do a little bit more, you know, be some billet stuff, but a lot of handmade stuff, handmade gas tank. Obviously, the frame is all going to be handmade. But I'm beyond excited about that one. Wow. But then we've got M8 FXRs going on and twin cam FXRs and just a lot of really cool stuff, but also some choppers. We're building a chopper for Darren right now, actually.
Oh, cool. Darren McKinnig.
Yeah, so he and I are going to – last year we all rode our bikes to Sturgis. We took, like – a 4,000-mile trip to Sturgis. This year, we're going to do even more than that, but we're all riding our choppers. So
that's cool.
I'm really excited. So I'm riding my FXR chopper, that big black soft tail that I sent you, Jody.
Hold on. I know. That's what I was just going to say. I think I have a picture of that somewhere. There's that is such a typical.
So that's what I'll be riding, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then our buddy Jeff will be on that big black lowrider S.
This?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I saw that. That's, yeah. How much stretch did you put in that?
That's got 12 in the down tubes, and it's a stock rake, so it handles absolutely amazing. So he went back and forth. He's like, I said, go 6 or 8. He's like, oh, let's go 10. And then he kept calling me, man, what do you think about 12? What do you think about 12? And I'm like, that's a big bike, man. And he loves it. He lives out in Colorado Springs and rides it all the time and just couldn't be any happier. So I couldn't be any happier. So
the FXR stuff that you're doing for Born Free, it's not for this year, is it?
Yeah, well, so it's for Born Free Texas. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I got excited for a second.
I know. So we have to be in Durango, Durango, Colorado, about a week before the show starts. And we're taking 4 or 5 days, and we're all riding our bikes the 1,000 miles from Durango to Mount Enterprise.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's too bad. The Texas one is the same time as Biketoberfest.
I know.
I hate that.
There's like a bike show every weekend now, or two or three of them.
True.
It's constant. Yeah, it's hard to keep up with.
Yeah, you have to pick and choose.
Yep, you really do. The one in Texas is a really good time. It's got a grassroots feel to it, and it's out in a big field.
Yeah.
You know, just reminds you of stuff from way back.
Yeah. Where is it in Texas?
So it's in Mount Enterprise, which is maybe an hour east of Dallas. It's kind of like in the hill country, like just south of Tyler, Texas, which is where ZZ Top's from. So that's kind of cool. It's a neat place. It's a good time.
Well, that's really cool that you're doing all this FXR stuff. FXRs were always my favorite. And, I'm going to build an FXR for myself for next year, for Sturgis for next year. And, I was going to take, I've got a couple of stock frames, and I was going to probably take a stock frame and stretch it. What I just came across about a week ago, I just bought an early Ness FXR swing arm frame. 7/8 tubing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, this.
I was getting excited as you led up to tell me what it was because I knew it was going to be something like the holy grail. That's awesome, man. Yeah. Congratulations.
Well, how about this? The guy, a friend of mine, says, hey, I know a guy's got a frame for sale. I says, what is it? He says, I don't know. I says, well, give me a picture. He sent me a picture of it. I mean, of course, I knew what it was right away. Right. It was local. End up going over the guy. I sold this frame to the guy 25 years ago.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, but that's $800. That was what it went for. $800. The guy still had the tag on it. Never used.
Really?
It. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm gonna put a twin cam drivetrain in it.
Sure.
And, I'm gonna build it like we did back in the late '80s when they came up.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Excited. That's so cool. It's so timeless.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like a time capsule, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Paul, so I see that you have some stuff for Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the Challenger. Tell me what you got for the Challenger.
So we do a fork extension kit because it has such a good suspension already. We just did a kit that just lifts your bike up a couple inches in the front. Well, we've got a 1-inch and a 2-inch. And then for the rear, we have brackets that actually change the angle where your shock mounts. So it lifts you either 1-inch or 2-inch. We have a couple other things that we're working on that we're really not ready to talk about too much yet, but
rats.
I know we can talk about it off camera. We've got some pretty cool stuff. That's such a good bike. The Challengers, and I mean, the whole lineup is really, so what I like, and I've spoken about this a little bit in the past, is 5-8 years ago, I wasn't near as excited about the motorcycle world, like the custom world, of course, choppers and that I'm always excited about. But just, the bikes coming off the floor and new young kids getting into it, it didn't feel too good. And in the last 5, 6, 7 years, between the stuff Harley has done to, between the Pan Am and some of their other stuff, but then Indian coming along, I'm getting like more and more excited every day. And now you've got the Bagger Racing League and, the hooligan stuff's really started to kick off. It's just an exciting time to be into motorcycles, period. Which it always is, but when the OEMs start really pushing it and offering more and just doing exciting new stuff. Like all these new stuff Harley came out with in the last couple of weeks with the new paint jobs and stuff on their STs and stuff. It's all really cool. Indian putting a lot of effort into those new, is it the Sport Chief, I guess?
Yeah, like the one that's like a soft tail.
Those are so cool.
Right.
Those bikes are
bitching. I love them. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that they went to a steel frame instead of the aluminum.
Yep.
You know, it's more a round tube.
Yep. So, and there's a lot of customization options, opportunities right. going on there. Like you could really make some, which they had a handful of people make some custom bikes. Like Barnstorm did one. I think Yaniv did one, Carrie Hart. And they all, dude, they're super cool bikes. I'm just, you know, I get anything with two wheels. I just get so excited like a little kid, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just looking at a post, that you just did. You make an extension. Well, it's a kickstand, moves the kickstand on ST.
Yep.
What if I want to lower it? Can we do a lowering kickstand too?
I don't know. I never thought about that. I imagine we could. I don't know how it would work on the frame down there, but we'll have to look at it. Everybody wants to go taller now for more ground clearance.
Yeah, I want to go lower.
I know. I don't blame you.
You know, it's harder for me to hold them up when they're that tall.
Oh, I get it. I know. I know. We've got some bikes around here that only some of us can push around just because they sit so high. Bet. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'll get a Road Glide in here with ape hangers, and I got to let Jody push it around, you know?
Yep. I believe you. Yeah, we've got one kind of the shop rat kid that, you know, kind of handles all the, you know, the cleanup type stuff. There's some bikes where we're like, hey, move that out. And he's like, yeah, I really can't move that one. It's too big for me.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. No, I know. So you're making, you got a really cool line of stuff that you're making. You know,
thank you.
Axles and
risers
and all that stuff is very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, we've got, including color and engraving options, we're over 700 part numbers now.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pods.
It is. It's a lot to keep track of. So, yeah, it's a lot to keep track of. So we're working on it. We got some software to handle that. It's funny because years ago, I don't even know if the shop was open yet. Billy Lane had a book out. He had a few of them. Of course, I read. You know, it was before the internet. You had to read, you know, like rather than just watch YouTube or whatever. And I read all of his books, and one of them, I can't remember. Somebody told him early on, build a parts line because that will actually help support the bike building, because that's what we all love is creating the motorcycles, right? So I took that to heart right off the bat.
Yeah.
And from day one, I was like, okay, we got to have a good parts line, and then that'll help support building the bikes, where the bikes then show off the parts you make, and it's just kind of a circle, you know? Right. So we put a lot of effort into it, and sometimes I got to reel myself back because I have more ideas than I do time and, you know, money to keep inventory up and everything. Because, you know, today people don't want to wait for 2 or 3 weeks for parts. I got to have them today. So, you know, my kid's entire inheritance is on the shelf back there in parts.
It's the world of Amazon.
It is. I'm telling you, man, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a curse, but.
It's more of a curse for the small business like you.
It's difficult.
But yeah, I order stuff on Amazon purposely because I know I can get it tomorrow.
It's so easy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And
it's not easy to make stuff by hand, you know, like even though it's a CNC machine making it, there's still hands putting those things in and taking them to the anodizer and getting them engraved and the whole deal. It's a lot of work. But we love it. I mean, it's 20 years in. I still as excited to get up and go to work every day as I was the first day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and your son works with you every day too, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. He's awesome. He just turned 21. He's been here full time for about 3 years now. And he does like the customer service inventory, but he also makes sure parts are getting coded and coming back. And yeah, there he is. You guys will have to meet him in Sturgis this year. He's with me there every year. He's a hell of a kid. Man. I couldn't be more proud. I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
You know where I'm coming from, Dave.
Yeah. No, I can definitely relate.
Yeah. It's cool. And I never pushed him. He kind of grew up in the shop just by default. Yeah. It wasn't like, hey, go do this. You know, like I built a pan head for my dad when my kid was maybe 5 or 6 and he welded the oil tank up and my daughter helped lace the wheels. And, you know, so they were around it a lot. And then he was about 16, 17, and he's like, Dad, I'm just here for a job. Once I find something else, I'm out of here. I'm like, cool, man. That's fine. I just want you to be happy. That's all you ever want your kids is for them to be happy. Yeah. So maybe 8 months later, he's like, okay, Dad, here's the plan. I want to do this and I want to do that. I want you in 5 years to be able to come and go as you please. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. Yeah. And ever since, he's just, I mean, he's a way better businessman than I ever could be. So,
yeah.
It's cool.
I don't know about coming and going as you please, though, Paul.
Well, I'd rather be here than almost anywhere else.
Right, like, same thing.
Give me a long motorcycle ride once or twice a year, and then I just want to be back at work.
Yeah.
It's cool to get his generation absolutely so involved, because unfortunately, that, you know, under 30 is not really.
It's funny because, you know, there was hardly any kids around here riding 5 years ago, and now, like, almost every one of his friends has a bike.
Cool.
I don't know if that's totally influenced by him. I'm sure it has something to do with it, but you know, the kids that were on sport bikes and dirt bikes, now they're buying Sportsters and they're buying old Softails, and you know, it's pretty cool to see it happening.
Yeah.
I've definitely got a different opinion of the next generation of motorcyclists than I did 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, things have sure changed. You know, the industry has changed, you know, the standards have changed. There's so many shows, you know, which is an inspiration for people. You know, and some of the bikes that these young guys are building, I mean, blow me away, you know. Yeah. It's like, wow, where do you find the time, you know?
I know. Yeah, there's a couple guys, like Christian Newman and Hawk Lash, or however you say Hawk's last name, those two guys. And there's plenty of other dudes right behind them, but it's just insane the amount of ingenuity and craftsmanship that they put into a motorcycle. And they ride them too. Those aren't just show bikes. So those dudes, everything on them runs tip top. And I've seen Hawk bounce around down in the creek gravel in Tennessee at Loretta's show. And most people couldn't ride that motorcycle on asphalt on an empty parking lot. And he's out there bouncing through the gravel, hand shifting and working mechanisms. I know, it's the coolest. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Have you seen Sean Jackson's bike panhead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's got some wild ideas, man.
Yeah, I saw
his Pan Am last year, and I was pretty blown away. Yeah. Is that am I thinking the same? The guy with
Pan Am.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's cool to see that, you know, there's still that drive of being innovative and creative and building something unique.
Patience to make all that new stuff work with the old stuff, you know, like blending all the, I mean, I can't even imagine, like, the computers, like when you were helping Dave with the volume a minute ago, I'm like, I had to have my son come in here a couple hours ago and turn something on. I'm like, dude, I can't even figure it out. Just come get this thing logged in. I can't do it.
Right.
20 seconds later, he's walking back out. It's fine. It's good.
I recently have been kind of having some electronic issues with one of my new bikes. And I was literally thinking yesterday, I'm like fiddling with it, like can't get it. And I'm like, what the heck? This is why I ride old bikes.
Yep. 100%.
There's no, like, because
this
technology.
Whole CAN bus thing, the whole, like, I'm just used to electricity takes a loop. You know, like, you got to go from positive through everything back to negative. And I mean, I can figure that out. I'm really good at that. And now, so luckily, I don't know if you guys know Mike that works for me, Nine Finger Fab. He makes all the tools for engines and everything. And he's just an incredibly attached. He spent 20 something years in the dealerships, and I stole him away a couple years ago. And talk about a godsend, because he knows all that new electrical stuff that I have no, I'm lost. I don't have a clue.
Yeah, it can definitely be, you know, opening a can of worms.
Yep. It's beautiful when it's working.
Yeah.
It's amazing when it's working. It's not like timing a magneto and, you know, tuning an SU or a S&S or something.
Yeah. I call Jeff Galinsky and say, Jeff, what do I do next here? You know?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Let me FaceTime you so you can walk me through it.
Yeah. I literally had to do that with him on one of my bikes, because I had to do it myself. DP made me do it myself. I wanted it changed. I had to do it.
Yep. That's what I've done with my kid. He's built his own engine in his bike, and it's a big, you know, it's like 120 horsepower Sportster. And all I did was, I was there on fire up. I was check this, check that, check this. And that's, you know, but that's how we learn, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask you what he rides. So a Sportster?
So he's got a hot rod Sportster, but then he got a 94 FXR last fall.
And
it's pretty cool too. I hated to see him start to tear it apart, because it had like a bobtail fender and just a whole bunch of really cool 90s stuff that I would have just I'm like, you don't sell any of that. That's all mine. Like, I'll trade you or whatever, because I want all that cool stuff off of it. The old Nest side covers, and just it's covered in cool shit. But he's either going to do a twin cam or an M8 for it, but he's got a big stack of parts sitting there, and he's just I think he's going to ride it a little bit this summer and then do it up over the wintertime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same FXR thing.
So you've got a couple FXR builds here doing for customers?
Yeah, I mean, probably 6 or 7 of them are FXRs right now.
Wow.
Yeah, we're doing an Evo Softail for Darren, and then we've got an M8 FXR that we're doing, an Evo FXR we're doing, a twin cam. I got to think about all of them at the moment. There's quite a few, though. Like, we've got a stack of them sitting here waiting their turn. We're doing a kind of a full-blown show build with a Twevo, you know, the twin cam inside of the Evo case.
Yeah.
We're doing that one. And then I think there's a Chopper FXR sitting back. We're going to do another Chopper for a guy, too.
So no big wheel baggers?
No big wheel baggers for us.
Thank God.
I love the baggers, but the big wheel part, that's not really for me. No. I mean,
so I wanted to bring up you guys' trip to hold on, let me find that picture with you and Bobby Sega.
Oh yeah, to Nepal.
Yeah, I don't know that I actually have it on here. That's his Sportster.
Yep, that's his little hot rod Sportster. It's about 120 horsepower, and he built the whole engine himself. And
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Not that one. Let me see.
So that was at Mama Tried this past fall or this past spring. And Warren and Mike that work for, you know, Warren that runs Mama Tried, he's got his little kid. I said, let's get a picture with all our kids, you know, and they both had theirs in their arm. And I'm like, well, come on over here, Sam, get up in my arms too.
I guess I don't have it on yet. I must have only had it on my phone, but so tell us about your trip to Nepal.
So
I've heard Bobby's version and I've heard Brian's version.
So, well, how much did they tell you?
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know Bobby as well as I do, so there's no holds barred with Bobby. Trip of a lifetime, I guess, man. It was everything you expect and more. It was really exciting. Of course, I got in an accident on the, like, 45 minutes into the first day. I ran into a truck. So I got a little trip to a hospital. On the way back from the hospital, got in a car accident. Luckily, I wasn't driving. But then the next day I was back on the bike and just had a hell of a time. I've never in my life had such a great time with my friends. It was, if you guys can make that happen sometime, I definitely, have you done it, Jody? Oh, you haven't? You definitely want to if you can. I can't hear you.
Hold on. Sorry. I had it muted for a second because somebody's talking.
No good. No problem.
But go ahead. Keep going. I'm trying to upload that picture right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it just, the culture there is something like they're the nicest people. Like, there's no crime. They're very easygoing and happy and loving, you know. So, super cool, you know, kind of a stark contrast to some of the other places we've been. But the scenery and the riding was just out of this world. It was tough. I mean, it was a workout. Like, when they say we've only got 60 kilometers today, you do the math, and like, okay, that's 40 miles, give or take. Yeah. But it'd be 5 hours because it's rigorous, you know, heavy-duty riding.
Yeah, Bobby said it was a little more than what he expected.
So when – he and I, and so I've been asking Darren to go do that with me for years. And we were at Mama Tried actually last year, and Bear was set up there with the motorcycle Sherpa deal. I was like, let's go. And Bobby's like, yeah, screw it, I'll go. Bobby had never heard of, he didn't know anything about it. He didn't know you got off the asphalt. He thought you're just touring the Himalayas on asphalt.
Yeah.
So he shows up and he's like, you know, Bobby, he's like, what is this? I'm like, well, this is what we're doing, man. It's crazy getting out of town because there's not a single traffic light in the entire city of Kathmandu. There's no traffic lights. It's just chaos.
Yeah, that's right.
You're on the wrong side of the road, and you just got to be defensive but aggressive at the same time. And we got out of town, and then it's like boulders in the middle of the road and people coming at you from all directions, animals. Like, there were elephants in the roads. It was
what an experience.
Oh, it was. So we did maybe the second day, we did a float down the river there, and there's crocodiles everywhere. Like, we're in a little dugout where you've got 2 inches from the top of the boat to the water. Like, if you leaned this much, you'd fill up with water, and there's crocodiles within 10 feet of you. Absolutely. And then we get out, and an elephant comes down to the water. Like, we thought it was coming to trample us, and it just wanted a drink of water. Huge elephant. I could have touched it with my hand, and it just
went. Cool.
Oh, it was cool. Yeah, it was cool because we survived.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. It's probably cool to tell the story now, but in the moment, it was like,
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was laughing. I was like, I'm going to be the tourist and have my phone out and record the whole thing, and everybody else is kind of scattering, and I'm laughing. And so earlier, like the day before, Danger Dan dared me to, like, the monkeys come up and beg from you. He's like, I dare you to grab its tail. And I'm like, Bear 5 minutes earlier said, don't mess with the monkeys. So, of course, I grabbed the monkey's tail, and then like 18 monkeys come at me, and Dan's laughing hysterically. So when that elephant came down, I was like, Dan, I dare you to grab that elephant's tail. And I've got video of it. I'll send it to you later. I've got video, and you can see Dan like contemplating, looking at the elephant's tail and looking at where his escape route is. He didn't do it, though.
Yeah.
How about the bridge that you rode on?
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, with you and Darren, who are both big guys.
Yeah.
On these little teams. What were the bikes again?
They're the Himalayan from Royal Enfield.
Like, what are they, like 500s?
400, I think.
So you got, how fast did they go with you guys on them? I mean, I suppose speed wasn't an issue.
70 miles an hour. They probably got up to 70 on the
asphalt. Wow.
Yeah, they got up and went pretty well.
Okay.
But it's very underpowered. If, you know, it's not what you're accustomed to. And for guys like, you know, my height and everything, it was weird. Just, you know, the handlebars are all kind of weird and all that. But so I guess going into this, Darren had a big kind of a thing about suspension bridges. He was super nervous about them. So the first one we come to, and he's like, will you record this for me? I could tell he's nervous. I'm like, yeah, dude, you all right? And he's like, I got to do this. He was scared of it. Like, he was like just frightened. He goes across it, and we did a couple more of them. So we come to this one, and it's like the biggest one in Asia or something like that. It's like the highest and longest suspension bridge. I don't know.
How strong are they? Like, are they sketchy, like where they might break? Or
no, that's – I was like, I never even thought about being scared. I'm like, it's really well built. There's cables and supports, and you can't really even make it rock because there's, you know, like outriggers and stuff everywhere. The ones we went over, I'm sure there's some sketchy shit because there's a lot of sketchy stuff in that country. Trust me, it's insane. But the ones we went over were fine. So we come to this one, it's biggest. And he's like, "Are you going?" And I'm like, "Nah, I'm going to," because you just went over this one and came right back. There was nothing on the other side. And I was like, "Unless you want me to ride with you," and he's like, "Let's do." And I hadn't been on the back of one of these. Obviously, I don't get on the back of many motorcycles, but. you know, so in one of the videos, you can see me say something to him. And what I said was, maybe we should have tried this before now, you know, like as practice. And you can see Darren just go, nah. And so away we went. And like my butt was up about as high as the top rope on the sides. Like I was, if there would have been an issue, I'd have been scrambling. But it was, it was great. That was,
such a great video.
I was cringing when I watched that video. I don't like heights either.
Right. Oh, and there was plenty of height.
Yeah. When I saw you guys on that bike, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah. It was a good time though.
So did you go there and back on the back?
Yep. All the way across. And then he backed up with me on the back of it, went all the way back across.
So I guess he doesn't have a fear of suspension bridges anymore.
No, I think we conquered that one. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, his laugh, you know, how when he gets to laugh and how funny it is. And he just, when we got to the other side, he's just laughing his butt off. Yeah, it was a good time.
How cool. Yeah. Was that a week long trip?
I think we were on the bikes for maybe 9 or 10 days. I think we were over there for about 2 weeks, give or take. And then he and I went to Romania after that. And his son was stationed in, Constanta, I think, down on the Black Sea. So we went over there and just kind of bummed around in Romania and checked out some castles. And of course, we checked out all the motorcycle shops over there, like all the KTM dealers and all the other, you know, European bikes, Ducatis and all that stuff. So we just had a good time.
Is there many Hollies?
No, there's not. And when they saw us and found out we're American and kind of saw the motorcycle related tattoos, like that, everybody wanted to talk to you about it. It was in November. So November over there is a little bit cold. So there weren't a lot of bikes on the road. We went and visited some Harley folks over there, and that was really cool. Like, so we were around it a little bit, but I didn't see many out on the street at all.
Yeah, I would imagine they have a lot of small bikes.
Yeah, getting in and out of traffic quick and easy. Yep. It's a pretty cool place, though.
When you were over, you know, in Nepal and in Romania, I mean, between you and Darren, I mean, people must have really, they probably never saw two guys that looked like you two guys.
No, right? and Bobby, too. And, you know, Bobby chirping at everybody, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny because the first maybe 3 or 4 days we were all there, we were just getting accustomed to everything and checking out the sites. And then we got on the bikes and then we came back. When we came back, all the locals at this point knew us. You know, we obviously stick out.
Yeah.
So when we came back and we'd go out at night and stuff, everybody was, hey, come in here. You know, like trying to get, because we come in and spend money and have a good time. And, you know, so yeah, we weren't easily hidden in Nepal. That's for sure. It's funny because Bear came up to Darren and I at one point. He's like, man, I just really love that you guys are enjoying the food over here. And I'm like, I'm just a big dude and I got to eat. Like, it's the same thing every day. It's like chicken and curry and rice. And it's not bad. I'd eat it again for sure. But, you know, we went to a place called Yak Donald's. So it's Yak Burgers, which
is it McDonald's?
No, it's totally not at all a McDonald's. It's painted up like it and looks like it, but it's not in any way related to McDonald's because it's like a yak burger, which I'd eat again, but not if there was beef around. But you know what? It was great mixing it up from, because you know the beef or cows over there are religious, you know, sacred. So you can't eat cattle over there. You can almost run into them on your motorcycle on the road all day long, but you can't eat any of them.
So they don't have any beef?
No beef.
Wow.
Like the steakhouses, like we tried to find a steakhouse to get red meat and it's yak. And there's something else over there. I can't remember. There's something else they eat. But of course, there's like goat and all that kind of thing.
Is yak like those like bull kind of like hairy things? Yeah,
it's like a big hairy cow, basically. But it's like a mountain animal, I guess. I don't know.
Was the meat very similar to?
The consistency was similar, but it was kind of spicy a little bit. It wasn't bad. I would eat it again, no doubt, but I wouldn't pass a good steak over for that.
Boy, Dad, you would hate Nepal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I flew back from Romania and it got into Canada. I don't even remember what city in Canada, what airport. And there was like some chain hamburger place, like the guys that are from up your way, the burger guys. What's
Five
it called?
Guys?
No, I wish it was Five Guys. I love them. The movie star guy that his family has.
Oh, Wahlberg.
Yeah, there was one of those. And I'm like, I made a beeline for almost running. I'm like, give me an American beer and a burger. I got to have this.
A cheeseburger probably never tastes so good.
Never, never. It was so good. But it's, you know, like I think taking in that local cuisine is part of the experience too. And then it makes you appreciate what you have back home also.
Yeah, Yak Donald's, huh?
Who'd have thought?
Yeah, right, exactly.
How about this bike, Paul? Tell us about this one.
So that one, I did that one in 07, and that was my first cover for Street Chopper. And that dude, I was building that guy a rolling chassis, and you know, we kept bouncing ideas back and forth, and then it just turned into, I did the whole bike. I don't know where that bike went. I haven't talked to him in quite a few years. You know, what's that been, 16 years now? But that was my first time that I had Darren Williams from Liquid Illusions do our paint. And he did, as you can see, an absolutely stellar job.
Yeah.
Had a really cool olive color and then the kind of an off-white. But underneath all that white was some cool graphics with, you know, some kind of a you know, reflective metallic, you know, but then the rest was white. So you kind of had to hit it in the right. It, you know, Darren was always, is still really good at kind of hiding all those details. But that was a really fun bike called it the Haymaker.
What kind of Springer was that?
We used to make those. So I got started in the bike world building frames and Springers. And we quit doing frames and springers back in 2015. It's just, you know, the market was flooded, and it's just, it's tough, you know, making every single thing custom. And, you know, one of the biggest problems, Dave, was chrome platers, man. It's hard to find good chrome anymore. Yeah. So, you know, everybody wants their springer plated, and, you know, the platers were wanting $1,200 a springer, you know, so then you got to, you know, your prices are high, and then the quality is not really what you expect.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, and part of me regrets that decision because I enjoyed making that stuff, but it was better for the business going to, you know, making parts that are a little bit easier to just put right onto a bike as the bread and butter, and then leave the custom stuff for the complete bike builds.
Well, you know, the cool thing is, like, all that stainless stuff you make, and you don't have to worry about plating, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, and it's that stainless we use is the most corrosion resistant stainless on the planet. So,
yeah,
if you don't bang it up, it's going to look pretty for the life of the bike, and then and even longer.
Yeah, I mean, chrome is probably the biggest downfall for any manufacturer.
I agree.
That makes motorcycle parts.
Yep.
You know?
I agree.
It's always a disaster.
Yep.
You know, and the chrome shops are dwindling. I mean, I can't.
I know.
Any I've gone through over the years. That, you know, have gone out of business.
Yep. Like Browns. I couldn't believe Browns left. And then there's been so many more ever since. And the folks, so we're in St. Louis, and the people here in St. Louis, like, they'll do okay on steel, but if you want them to plate aluminum, it just flat out won't stick.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand. So, and it's a shame because I feel like a lot of our customers want chrome. There's some specific parts that I know we would sell a lot of if we could get good plating done, but I can't afford to ship it to, you know, basically Tijuana or, you know, Southern Texas, you know. So we had some people that were, I would ship it to Southern California. They'd drive it to Mexico, get the work done, and drive it back. And that's just, that makes me really anxious thinking my parts are in the trunk of a car, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what in the world could happen? You know, so. We don't even offer anything in chrome plating anymore.
What is your most popular pot that you sell?
Probably our axle line. We do a lot of our FXR conversion bearings for the swing arm. We probably sell a couple of those a day. Those are going out constantly.
So what is that?
So instead of using the cleave block inside of your swing arm, we developed, and it's not a spherical bearing. It's actually four ball bearings, you know, see it like a wheel bearing almost.
Okay.
Double row ball bearings. There's four of them in there. So the dynamic load and the static load on them is through the roof. Like, it'll take a beating. But you've never felt a smoother swing arm. You know how it is when you take the shocks off on your swing and your swing arm just kind of goes like that.
Yeah.
With ours, it's like clank, you know, because it's got full range of motion and there's no resistance.
Does that help? It might be a stupid question, but help with the suspension?
Like, 100%. So you get to, you'll be able to realize your full suspension, but it also, you know, so I'll try to display. So if this is my swing arm and this is my frame, when you have it in the cleave block, you can twist like this. If you were looking at the bike from the top,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can twist because of that rubber. But when we have our ball bearings in there, you can't twist. All you can do is pivot up and down. So it eliminates what they call stiction, you know, that rubber stiction that you get.
Yeah.
And then that kind of squishy, you know, left and right, it eliminates that as well. So that's probably our single best-selling product. FXR axle adjusters, Dyna axle adjusters, those are big. Our fork braces, you know, it's hard to narrow down to one part, but I'd say if you had different ones, it's definitely the FXR conversion bearing kit.
You know, I didn't know you. I've never seen that with that ball. I mean, I've seen all the ones with a spherical bearing.
Right, right. Which that's technically not a spherical bearing. That's a Heim joint is all that is, really. Right. You know, because a real spherical bearing, because I looked into using real spherical bearings.
Yeah.
A real spherical bearing that size, one of them is over $300.
Oh,
because,
wow.
You know, instead of just rolling, you know, like brass or something inside of a Teflon.
Yeah.
There's actual bearings all the way around that round kind of Heim thing in there. And so those technically aren't bearings, but ours obviously are. There's four American-made bearings in each kit. And, I mean, we've sold – I don't even know how many. They've been out there since probably 2017, and we've never had any of them come back. They last forever.
What's that deal retail for?
I think they're at, I don't know my price on that. I think they're $300.
Okay.
Maybe $325.
Yeah.
So it comes, it's all the bearings and then all the spacers. And then there's a little depth gauge for when you set them, you know, because you have to have that space between your case and the, and the swing arm.
Yeah.
It comes with everything included. And then we started doing pivot shafts too, because a lot of people, the only pivot shafts out there, Harley still makes them. They're getting harder to find because they're not producing them like they used to.
Yeah.
But the only other ones were imported. And the dimension, the tolerances were all over the place, which is okay when you're going through those cleave blocks. But when you're going through a ground bearing, you know, you can have some issues. So we started making pivot shafts for the FXRs as well. So everything's, you know, spot on tolerance wise. And also it's a lot prettier. One, you know, the other thing, you guys, I'm sure you've encountered this when they get froze up inside of the transmission case. You guys sit there and bang on it all day.
Yeah.
That stainless we use won't do that because it just won't corrode.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be good for, you know, we like to say that, you know, two things we say, like, I like to make heirloom parts. I want you to pass these parts down to your kid, not just because they look good, but because they last that long. And the other thing, you know, we're not trying to compete on price, but I don't think anybody's competing with our quality, you know, so we're not, I'm not trying to just sell stuff to sell stuff. I want to make the best stuff. And that's why that's, I want people to come to us for the best, not price shopping.
Yeah.
Same for you guys. Like, you know, it's like you go get a tattoo and they're like, well, how, you know, like being around Darren, you know, just all my tattoo friends and stuff is like, oh man, how much? And it's like, it's going to be on your life. It's going to be on your body for your entire life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Price should be the last thing. Save for a little bit longer. If you want something good, save a little bit longer and then have it for your lifetime instead of to buy it again next year. Get tattoo. I can't tell you how many tattoos I had to get covered up before I finally figured out. Get a good tattoo artist.
Yeah. Right. Right. Oh,
yeah. But you're going to pay for that good tattoo artist.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And that's the thing.
Because then you're done. You've got something you can be proud of and you're done. You don't ever have to have it done again.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
I've got a couple of FXR builds that I've got coming up real soon. So I'm going to have to
holler at me. I'd like to send you some stuff. And I just like, so I just want people to have my parts in their hand one time, because when you have it in your hand, you're going, oh, okay, this is different than the other stuff.
How about if I have it in my hands a few times?
You do. What's that?
How about if I have it in my hands a few times?
Yeah, perfect. That's even better.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jody, another thing we do is we make a set of triple trees for the FXRs, also for Dynas and Sportsters, but it adapts everything FXR, including your wheels and brakes, to a 49 millimeter set of tubes and sliders. So the 49, you know, because everybody goes, well, a lot of people are big on the inverted front ends, but they don't know why they're hooked on it. They're just hooked on it because of the price. The only difference, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, the only difference between an inverted front end and a conventional front end is the unsprung weight. You know, you've taken the sliders and put them up here, so now they're suspended. And but all the valving and everything else on the inside can be equal. So I like the look of the traditional Harley front end. So I thought, how can we make something to compete with the inverted front ends? Well, there's all kinds of drop ends, you know, from Legends and Olin's and everybody else. Race Tech makes great stuff for 49s, but also you've got
IWD.
Yeah, and you've got greater stability with the wall thickness and just bigger diameter. But we also changed some of the geometry, because, you know, on your 39 millimeter, the offset between your stem and your tubes is out there a little ways. And on the 49 millimeter mid glides, you pull it back a little bit. And that I would always get, no matter what I did to my bikes, I'd get a death wobble at like 105 miles an hour. Every FXR I ever owned would do that. And with these, it eliminates all the death wobble. You're much more stable in the corners. You don't even have to like put the expensive stuff in your front end. You can just run stock Harley stuff in your front end, and it's going to be better than any 39 millimeter you've ever ridden.
So now that being said, this is a 49.
Yep.
Narrow trees.
So yeah. And the way I did it, it's all spaced out to where your stock Harley Timken bearing wheel will fit in it.
Yeah.
Your stock brakes will work with it.
Yeah.
Also, though, if you run the 2000 to 05 wheels, those work as well. So there's a little spacer for the early wheels for the brakes to work. But other than that, it comes with an axle. Mm-hmm. It comes with the spacers to space everything properly. Yeah. I mean, it's like it comes with the stem and the nut and the whole deal. The steering stops work. You know, it's about as plug and play as you can get for a replacement front end. I've got one on that chopper. So that'll give you an idea of what it looks like. Obviously, it's, you know, eight over, but it'll give you the idea of what it looks like width-wise. And from a ways away, it just looks like a stock front end, you know.
When we were doing my 93 FXI dad, we had looked at his trees, but I can't remember what.
Well, give me a call next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll like them. You'll like them.
We've got
I don't even know what the trees are on my 93. I forget.
I think they're holly trees, though. But anyways, yeah, that 93 FXI she has we put 49 on that.
Did you guys get excited to start seeing the FXRs come back around the last seven or 8 years? Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I know, me too. So I worked at a shop before I had my own place, and I remember the first time I saw one. You know, I'm like early 20s, and I grew up kind of around bikes, but not like you guys, you know. So, and I asked the guy, I'm like, what's that? And he's like, oh, that's an FXR. All the club guys like it, and the guys that really put a lot of miles on like it. And then a chopped one came around, and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. Everybody hated the triangle, and I'm like, man, I just loved it just because you can, we all know what you can do with an FXR, but ever since then, I was hooked, you know, it was 25 years ago or something. And then I was like, you know what? I think the FXRs are going to come back here pretty quick when everybody started getting on Dynas and doing all this thing and, you know, the fairings and all that. I'm like, yeah, the FXRs are coming back, which, you know, for a lot of us, they never left. But same with choppers. People are like, oh, choppers are coming back. And I'm like, choppers never left, man.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a quick story. I bought my first FXR. It was in 82 in 1985. It was a real shit box that I bought, and I did it over, gave it a whole facelift, and I never forget the first time I rode it. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, holy shit, this is the smoothest Harley I have ever ridden, and it's got five speeds. I was so impressed, and I did lots of FXRs back in that era.
I bet.
Hey, Paul, somebody, Mike Woodyshek, he wants to know, can you run Brembos with a factory FXR wheel with your trees, the 49 millimeter?
Yeah, you just have to use the adapter. Yep. I think, I can't remember who makes the adapter. If he's talking about axial mount or radial mount, so if you run the 2000 to 05 wheels, and yes, you can use those late model Brembo axial mount. But to run the radial mount, obviously you have to have an adapter like from Speed Merchant or somebody like that. But yeah, for sure. We've done a bunch of them with that. And we also, like on a lot of our bikes, we'll run the Alloy Art sliders. So you can get them with the radial mount, Brembo mounts. So either way, like on my son Sportster, he's got the Brembos on there, but they're the axial mount style Brembo. The ones that are Harley branded Brembos, like they're on the daggers and everything.
Yeah, yeah, they're on the FLs.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think I just, you know what? On my chopper, they're on there as well. They're the same Brembos, but I had them chrome plated.
On the blue chopper? The blue
one. Yep.
Yeah, is this one? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's got axial mount Brembos on it as well.
Very cool.
Yeah. We've had a lot of comments here today.
Tons.
Home, you know,
somebody wanted to know if your trip to Nepal was expensive. Depends on what you define as expensive, because it's a priceless
it was
trip.
It was. I think his price is maybe $4,500, but then you got to get there, and you got to get home, and you got to eat. So he feeds you. He feeds you throughout the whole trip. It's just like if you want a beer or something with dinner, you got to buy that, and then the days before and the days after, you could do it pretty cheap. I mean, it's all relative. I mean,
yeah.
What I would say is it was worth the money I spent. Absolutely.
I would assume it's a priceless thing. So
yeah, I quit paying attention to the money because I was having such a good time. It's like, you know, I'll make the money back when I get home. It was worth it. So definitely a high value. I'll say that.
Yeah, very cool. All right, Paul, we don't want to take up too much time, too much of your day. I know you're a busy man. Where will your next adventure be?
So Darren and I are going to leave, I think, on like July 10th, maybe, to go to Sturgis.
Oh, that's a long, I think, yeah, Brian had said you guys would
go. Yeah, Brian's going with us. Like, is he the best dude or what? I love
Brian. Oh, my God, I love Brian.
Yeah.
He's a guy.
Yep, yeah. Such a great guy.
His photography is awesome, too.
Yep. Oh, I know. So I have, it's sitting right next to me. And I haven't even opened it yet because he said, just take it right to the frame shop. But he had, like, me and him, Danger Dan, Darren, Bobby, and then his two buddies that were with him, PJ and Class. We had a photo taken in front of like the biggest peaks that we rode past, not Everest or anything like that, but this beautiful Brian Helm black and white photo in front of all those peaks with just our buddies. And I cannot wait to frame that and put it up in the house.
He's, how cool.
That dude's such a talented guy. So yeah, we're taking off like the 10th and we're going to take our time getting to Sturgis, going to hit Utah and Idaho and Montana. We're going to get up to Glacier. My buddy Quilty that rides that big soft tail. So we were going to do some other stuff. We got some little local stuff to do. We were going to try to make Born Free, but it's just such a long haul for, 2 days. We're skipping it this year. So we'll do that. Then we're going to be at Bobby's block party in September. Mm-hmm. And then Born Free Texas. And that might be it for the year.
Yeah, so I might try to cross paths with you guys on your ride to Sturgis because I'm starting from California, but I'm kind of going. I want to go to Glacier. I'm gonna go really? Up like through Oregon and Washington, and I'm kind of sort of doing it by myself. So really? Brian had told me you guys' kind of route, and I was like, oh, we could totally cross. We should. Paths.
Oregon yeah. and Washington is beautiful. I wish we had time to get over there too, but. Yeah, you should. Have you been through Glacier yet?
Yeah. I've been through a couple of times, but I kind of have like another meaning to go through Glacier this year where I have to go through. So
awesome.
We
should definitely hook up for a day or two at least.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'd love to ride with you guys. I mean,
yeah,
I'd be my glory.
I know where the best huckleberry pie you'll ever have is up there near Glacier.
Well, I've never had it. So
oh, my God, it's so good.
Will be good.
I think I put on about 5 pounds staying there for 2 days. So yeah. Good.
So I'll have to like figure out what you guys' route is.
Absolutely.
And see where I can catch up to you guys. Cause
yep.
I think it's around the same time, like when Brian had kind of told me
yep.
tentative schedule.
We're trying not to have too much of a plan, you know?
Me too.
That's
I'm kind of like,
do it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like where I'm yep. on my own, because I'm going to hook up with some of the guys in the beginning that are going, but then they're going a different route. I don't want to go that way. So
yep.
I'm going to leave them like a day or two, and then I'm just going to kind of wing it.
I love the adventure of that, not having to just kind of have a general direction, and you might do 100 miles, you might do 500.
Right.
Yeah.
Doesn't commit you to anything.
Yeah. Are you riding your FXR?
No, I'm riding my Road Glide, so I won't be as cool as you guys on Choppers. But
trust me, I would love to take my Road Glide, too, because my Road Glide's so comfortable.
Yeah. So it's already out in California. So yeah. I left it out there a couple weeks ago. So I figured might as well ride it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we can get together. And Dave, I guess I'll see you in Sturgis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Never miss
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So what are you bringing your chopper to?
So I'll be on that. And then so my guys and my son, they'll bring the trailer with whatever bikes we're taking this year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we did that last year, too. We all just kind of meet at the place that we stay at. And we'll hit a couple shows. We'll be at your guys' show and a couple others. And then Sturgis is kind of a work vacation for us. We'll hit a couple shows, but then just we try to get a lot of riding in.
Yeah.
A lot of handshaking.
What days do you get into Sturgis?
We'll probably get there that Friday.
Yeah.
We
do a big block party on Saturday night. Up at the hotel, up behind the hotel.
Oh, really? I might have heard about that.
Hamster Hill.
Yep.
And, it's a pretty cool deal. I mean, band and there's food and everything. And, you guys should come up.
Yeah, Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday night. It's we'll be there. 6 o'clock.
Absolutely. We'll definitely be there. That'll be cool.
For sure.
I actually took my kids and my dad out there last week and just kind of bummed around in the hills, rode the side-by-sides and stuff.
Nice.
I tell you what, man, that's a magical place. I love it.
Oh, it is.
I'm glad that that's where the biggest bike event of the year is.
Yeah.
It's such a great spot.
My first year in Sturgis was 1977. And I got a call from Alan. He said, hey, I just heard about this big motorcycle event out in South Dakota. It's called Sturgis.
Yeah.
I said, really? He says, you want to go? And I said, well, it's kind of far for me. And he said, well, listen, if you want to fly out there, he says, I'll bring you a bike. And I said, okay. So I flew out. Alan brought me a little Digger Sportster because that's what we were all riding.
Sure.
And stayed at the Sturgis Town Park. And that was the beginning of it all.
That was the end. You had to go every year after that, right? So when I was out there, I was thinking, like, what started drawing people? Like, how did this become the biggest motorcycle event in the world? Because you're literally, nobody's close to it.
Yeah, right? In the middle of nowhere.
Right, and it brings people from all corners of the world. And it's got to be the riding, because riding is magnificent. Yeah. You know,
definitely, but the riding and the territory.
Why wouldn't it have been like an Aspen or, you know, Missoula, Montana, or like, there's just something about that. Who can say why, but I'm glad it did happen the way it happened.
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the first 3 years, I think, that I went, you know, we camped out. Nobody stayed in hotels, you know? Right. And then
there even any hotels?
Well, there probably was, but, and then we made our way up to Spearfish, and then, we started staying up in Spearfish, and we're still there today.
Yeah. We stay out in Lead every year.
Yeah.
I love that area because you're far enough away
from
chaos, but you can still get to the chaos if you want to. And there's still good food nearby. Like,
right. Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah. You know, Daytona's cool. All the other events are cool, but Sturgis, you can get away and ride. And I mean, that's. Well, for guys like us that work so much, like, you still want to ride, you know. So
I tell people, there's no second to Sturgis.
Nope.
I've been to them all, and there's no second to Sturgis.
Right.
A lot of good events, but
you're 100% right. Yeah,
to a motorcycle event, you go to Sturgis.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Paul. Well, we will. I will probably see you on the road in a couple months.
Yep.
If not, we would definitely see you in Sturgis.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you that Saturday night for sure.
Yeah.
Come down. And hey, Paul, it was really good to talk to you.
Likewise.
I'm real interested in all those FXR products.
I appreciate it. I feel like we could have spoken for 5 or 6 hours.
Well, we could.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll do that in Sturgis.
Yeah. I'm glad I know where you got your name too.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. It was an honor.
All right. Ditto, Paul. Bye. Thank you.
All right. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. So that was our show for today. Huge shout out to Bare Knuckle Paul. If you guys don't follow him on Instagram, go give him a follow. He posts some funny stuff. And obviously a ton of motorcycle stuff. If any of you guys are local to us, don't forget Aperowitz Bike Night. The first one is Wednesday, June 21st. And then July 19th and August 16th. That's here at our shop. We have food trucks, a band, some benders, obviously tons of custom bikes. So make sure you guys come out to that. Huge shout out to Law Tigers for sponsoring Choppa History. Without you guys, we wouldn't be able to bring you guys cool interviews and videos. All right, guys. So we will catch you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for all you guys that comment. Keep those comments coming. Share our posts. Like them. Tell your friends to watch so that we can keep bringing you Choppa History each week. And shout out to Law Tigers. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.